All of us is here this morning have faced the reality of the fact that we are in the beginning of a new year and we don't know what the future holds. We have some ideas. We can look at the past and we can have regrets of the past, or we can look at the past year and say, yeah, I would do another year like last year, or I don't want another year like last year. But we can't look into the future and know what the future has for us. But the beauty of it is, we can look into the future and know that we have a God who will walk with us into the future, into the unknown. He will walk with us. Back in the early 80s, I was hunting in Potter County, and I shot a deer with a bow, and that deer decided to head on over into Tioga County, and I couldn't find it. It took a long time. It was getting dark. I didn't have a flashlight, and so after a while, it just got to the point where I knew that I needed to make my way back to where the guys were, where I was meeting to get my ride back to the cabin. And as I came out of the woods, there was where I came out of the woods into a field between me and where the vehicle was parked. There was a ravine that was very wooded and very thick with briars and all that stuff. And I had to make my way through that ravine. And by this time, it's dark, and the vehicles, I could see through the tree line, the vehicles sitting there with the lights on. I knew where I needed to go, and I didn't want to go there because I didn't have a flashlight. And this ravine was extremely dark. And so I set out across that ravine, and I made my way, feeling my way, tree here, brush there, and catching my leg in briars and stuff like that. And finally, I became a little bit fearful. My hair started to stand up because this is bear country. And so I got out my hunting knife, and I carried it in my hand as I was feeling my way through the woods until I came to a point where my feet got tangled up in the briars and I fell flat on my face. I remember I'm holding a knife. At this point, I decided that's not a wise thing. I put the knife away, and whatever is going to get me is going to have at it. And so I followed my way through that ravine, and the only thing that I had to look forward to, the only thing that I had to go on for a guide, was the lights of the vehicle that were on the other side of the ravine, because it was pitch black. I had to feel my way through. But I was able to make it through that ravine and up the other side to where the light was. And I challenge you this morning that as we look into the future, you may feel this morning like you're entering into a ravine. You're entering into a black place. Your life may have things going on in it today that challenge you, that feel like you're walking in the briars, your feet are getting caught, you're falling down. But I challenge you this morning again that as you think about the future, remember there is one who can see through the darkness, who has laid out the path, has made it for you to walk in. And I challenge you this morning again to be reminded of the fact that we need to come to the Father, the one who is able to see the past, see into the future, and see all the things that are prepared for us. And then walk with confidence. Feel your way. And He will guide your path, and He will bring you safely to the place that He wants you to be. Amen? We have that promise. But we have a responsibility. And this morning, I'm going to be looking at Scripture that talks about prayer and what our responsibility is to us as children of God to interact with the Father. You know, we can get all caught up in life, and we can start to go through the ritual and make it a ritual of prayer. And I want to challenge us this morning, not scold us, because I understand and I know how difficult it is to be vigilant and to be faithful in the act of prayer. So I'm not here to scold you. I'm here to challenge you and to remind you that this is a tool that we have to be able to walk into whatever the unknowns are, whatever the future is, whatever comes our way, whatever relationships we have that we're struggling with. We have a Father that knows, and we need to stay in touch with Him. Amen? Because it is there that we find our strength. It is there that we find hope. It is there that we are able to go on. And so that is my challenge this morning. The Scripture I'm going to be looking at is Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. And before I get into that, as we think about the idea of prayer, there is this here booklet, is a kind of a guide that is Dave and Janice Stoner have used as a guide for prayer and have recommended as a good tool. And it's called Seek God for the City in 2016. And it's 40 days of prayer. It guides you through 40 days of prayer, starting February the 10th and ending March the 20th. And if you would like one of these booklets, the church is going to make them available to you. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, and put your name down, and we will get as many booklets as are needed for you to be able to use this prayer daily prayer guide to pray for your city. Colossians 4:2 says this, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You say this morning, Luke, why do we need another sermon on prayer? And I ask you, why is it that we still struggle with prayer? So obviously, we need another sermon on prayer. The reminder, and I know how difficult it is. I know how hard it is to set aside time and to be vigilant and to be thankful in the attitude of prayer. But God has called us to do that. And He has done that for a reason. Not because He needs it, but because you and I need it. And you say, how do I pray? What is the purpose? What's it for? I believe that prayer this morning, and don't hear me wrong, I believe that prayer this morning is for you and I. Our Father has called us to pray for our sake. It is in that prayer time, it is in our connection with the Father, it is in our fellowship with Him that we find boldness, that we find courage, that we find strength, and that we find the ability to know how to pray for other people. So it is for us, I believe, that we pray. You know, the trees themselves, they draw sap from the ground into the tree. Daily they are replenished by the sap that is drawn up through the tree. And they are replenished by the ground which the Lord replenishes. And so this morning, we, being creatures of God who have been created by God, need to understand that we need to be connected to this life source. We can have all kinds of other things that we try to use to find strength, to find courage, to find hope. But there is none that will give to you what you need like the time that you spend interceding or interacting with the Father. So this morning, again, I challenge you, as you look at prayer and you think about prayer, don't get hung up on how to do it. Don't get hung up on how to do it. We've all been places where we've heard somebody pray and, ooh, they prayed with elegant words. They had all the religious words to add into the prayer that made it sound like these people are really spiritual. And I don't even have a clue how to pray. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let that intimidate you. Don't put yourself in a guilt trip because you don't have the right words to say. I challenge you this morning to stop and come before the Father and say, Father, as the disciples said, teach me how to pray. And it was pointed out to in one of the commentaries that I read that this is the only time the disciples ask Jesus to teach them something. Because I believe they struggled with it. They heard this came right on the heels of them hearing when Jesus had finished praying. They said, Lord, teach me how to pray. And I believe that should be all of our prayer this morning. All of our cry is that, Lord, that you will teach me how to pray. And I believe that, again, if I could just emphasize this enough, you don't have to have the words to say to pray. Just open your mouth. Talk to the Father. Talk to Him like you would talk to your Father, your earthly Father. Open your mouth and share with your Heavenly Father the same way. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, first of all, he says, praying for all the saints. Then he brings it to himself. and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in need of prayer because you are a saint. You may not like to say that, but yes, you are a saint. Not in a saint in the words of you being perfect, like a perfect little angel, but you are a saint because of the blood of Jesus that has been applied to your life. You're a saint. And he says in here that he calls us to pray for the saints. So if you are here this morning and you're a saint, you need prayed for. Amen? Because the enemy is out to destroy you. The enemy is out to rob, to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to do that. He wants to take that away from you. So I challenge you this morning, if there's no one in your life that you have that is praying for you, find someone. Find someone who will pray for you. And I want you to know this morning that I pray for you. I don't pray for you specifically by name, but it is one of my goals to take the little church directory and daily pray for someone through that directory. So I'm hoping that in a year's time, I will at least be able to pray for you a couple of times specifically. So I challenge you, if you're not being prayed for, find someone to pray for you. It is important. Because Paul says, as he went on there in verse 19, it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly." And I assure you this morning that one of the things that we are up against in this here culture is that we are fearful to open our mouths boldly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you find that you find yourself not being bold to open your mouth for the gospel, boldly for Jesus Christ, then find someone who will pray for you. Back in 2003, Lauren Miller called some pastors together at a place out in Colorado called Praise Mountain. It was a ranch out there that was designated just for prayer and fasting. There was cabins on this ranch. From this ranch, you could see off in the distance, you could see Pike's Peak. It was a beautiful place. And Dave and I went to that place in 2003, met there with about, about 21 other pastors that met together there with Lauren Miller there on Praise. They called it Praise Mountain. And we got together, and as we were sharing, I shared a prayer request. We were sharing prayer requests with each other, praying for each other, and I shared a prayer request that I felt like I needed boldness to be able to speak. That I needed boldness to be able to speak. And Lauren, as he looked around the room, there was a young Amish school teacher there, about 28 years old, that was teaching school, Old Order Amish, that was teaching school in Kansas. And this young Old Order Amish teacher was having children get saved right in the classroom. They were coming to know the Lord through his boldness of being able to share with them. And Lauren asked this particular, I even forget his name today, but ask him to come and lay hands on me and to pray for me. And he did. And from that day forward, I felt a release of the Spirit of God for me to be able to speak boldly. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you need courage, if you need boldness, if you need hope, find someone that is hopeful to pray for you. If you need someone that is, if you need courage, find someone that is courageous. If you need love, find someone that is loving to pray for you. I believe the Spirit of God moves through people when we pray for them. So I challenge you to this scripture where Paul asks that we pray for all the saints. And then he says specifically, pray for me that I might have boldness. And I want to see our prayer life revitalized, that we will pray for each other, that we will lift each other up, that we will be the source that God can use to minister to each other. It's not just about me, as we'll find later in this scripture. Maybe you've been at the point where you've wondered if your prayers are being heard. Feels like they're bouncing off the ceiling, like you can't get through, or like that you pray and you pray and you pray and you don't see any results, and you say, Lord, what is the point? I challenge you this morning to continue to pray, because there are results that are happening in a spiritual world that you may never see. But that doesn't stop us from praying, because it's that interaction with the Father that gives us hope and gives us courage. So if you're finding it difficult, to find time, it's like every time I try to stop and pray, there's all these thoughts that come through my mind. Or there's things that need to be done. Or I think about this that has to be done, or that that needs to be done. And all of a sudden, my mind's all clouded and full of all this stuff. Turn off the TV. Turn off the iPhone. Turn off the whatever it is that's turned on. And stop for a moment and ask God to speak into the quietness of your heart. And I believe that He will do that. And leave the results up to Him. You know, many of you here this morning have prayed for Lloyd and Mary Allen and for the work that's going on in Thailand, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your commitment to supporting them. I thank you for your commitment to praying for them. But we don't see what's happening here. We can't see it here, and so we rely on videos and clips that they send us and emails and messages that we get from them to be able to see what's going on over there. And so this morning, last weekend, Lloyd sent me a clip of a thank you to you for supporting them, for praying for them, and just a short clip of showing some of the things that are going on over there. And I think it'd be good for us this morning, thinking about prayer and thinking about the call that we have to pray for those that are boldly sharing the gospel message for Jesus Christ. So I've asked Jonathan to run this clip for us. If somebody could grab the lights, we'll just take a look at what Lloyd and Marilyn have sent for us.
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, when someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Time. A missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made. I noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad.
Take a moment and pray for Lloyd Maryland. Father, we do thank you again today for the opportunity we have to be able to touch that part of the world. Lord, I thank you for Lloyd Maryland and the family, and I pray that you would continue to reach out to them and touch them and minister to them in a way that your spirit would be shared with the people there, and that they would find strength and courage and boldness through you. So Father, again, we lift them up to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a challenge to you again to remember to pray for them as the enemy would like to destroy their work. As it is with any of you who have set out to be bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share it with wherever you're at, the enemy would like to destroy that. So just remember to lift them up in prayer. If you can turn to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13 says this: And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. And then he says in this, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what is prayer? Prayer is simply this. First of all, not everyone knows what prayer is. Two men were walking one day. One guy challenged his buddy by saying, if you're so religious, let me hear you quote the Lord's Prayer. I'll bet you $10 you can't do it. The second guy responded, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The first guy pulled out his wallet, fished out a $10 bill, and muttered, I didn't think you could do it. Do we truly know what prayer is? Do we know what prayer is? Do we know what prayer is? It is simple. It is communicating with the Almighty God, the one who created you. It is communication. It is talking to. It is not our many words. It is not standing on the corners of the streets. It is not that people see you doing it. It is communicating with the Father. It can be done mentally or it can be done verbally. It can be done in a format or it can be done spontaneously. Prayer is not something that is cut and dried in one certain way that it needs to be done. There's different things that the Bible talks about prayer. And here's a quote from the Easton's Bible Dictionary. Prayer is converse with God. The converse of the soul with God. Not in contemplation or meditation, but in direct address to Him. Prayer may be oral, mental, occasional, or constant, spontaneous, or formal. No rules are anywhere in Scripture laid down for the manner of prayer or the attitude to be assumed by the one praying. There is mention made of kneeling for prayer, bowing and falling prostrate, spreading out the hands, and standing for prayer. If we take out this exception of this here, the Lord's Prayer in this here, which is not a how you should pray, as in pray this. But this is a formula that Jesus gave us. He said, when you do this, remember, this is how, when you pray, do it this way, as in saying, our Father in heaven, remembering who you're praying to. Why do we need to pray? God already knows what we need. It says there in verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think, wrong verse. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So there is no amount of extra words and ways of saying it that are going to get the Father's attention more, because He already knows what your need is. So when you pray, why do we have to pray? Luke 18:1 says this, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Why do we have to pray? So that we don't lose heart. That's one of the reasons that we need to pray. Luke 21:36 says this, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass. Why do we have to pray? So that we will escape all things that come to pass. Does that mean that we might not get our heads cut off? We might. But in escaping all things that come to pass is those things that Satan throws at us to try to destroy our soul and our spirit. So that we must pray that to escape all these things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Romans 12:12. rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Why? So that we are hopeful and patient in tribulation. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Why do we pray? Because the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, we are watchful and prayerful in how we pray. Looking at this here prayer, this model of a prayer that Jesus laid out for us here in chapter 6, it starts out by this in verse 9 saying, "Our Father in heaven." And note here, there's 3 points speaking to the Father, and then there's 3 points speaking about us and the intercession that we make to the Father on behalf of ourselves. And it starts out with this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father in heaven. And I want us to camp there just for a moment and recognize that who we are talking to is our heavenly spiritual Father. And when you enter into prayer, I believe it is important that he put this here at the beginning of our prayer, that we recognize, that we understand that the Father that we are, the person that we are coming to, is our heavenly spiritual Father. And many of you here this morning have heard the saying that we in many times view our heavenly Father like we view our earthly Father. Whether that's true or false, whether it's right or wrong, I'm here to tell you this morning that God in his scripture has given us a clear picture of who he is. So I believe that when we come to the Father, we need to recognize and understand that he is our loving, kind, heavenly Father, the one who cares about your very well-being, the one who is willing and ready to listen to you, the one who is willing to reach out to you and offer you hope and courage and boldness. That's a Father. And many of us here this morning have been to the place where we have disappointed the heart of the Father. And I recall when I was a young boy, there was an evening at home that I grew up in a family. There was 5 boys, of which I was one. No girls, but we had our times of scrapping and fighting, not excessively. I don't remember a lot of fighting, but one particular evening, things didn't go well. We didn't get along with each other real well, and there was a lot of squabbles and things that went down that evening. When we went to bed, I had to pass my parents' bedroom door to go to the bathroom. And as I was passing my parents' bedroom door, I heard my father say to my mother, "Why do they have to fight?" And to this day, I'm here to tell you, I can still feel the feeling of having left him down. It tore my heart out. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that sometimes maybe the Heavenly Father turns to Jesus and says, "Why do they have to fight? Why do they have to fight?" So I believe again this morning, if we recognize that the Father that we are praying to, the one that we are coming to, he cares most deeply about the very things of your heart. He cares most deeply about your soul. He cares most deeply about the things that you can't say to anyone else, but that you can say to your Father, and you can share it with him. And he knows, and he understands. So be truthful with him. Lay it out in the open for him. There's no eloquent words that you need to speak. Just speak to him. Speak to him as your Father. And I believe that he will speak back to you. It goes on and says in the same verse, "Hallowed be your name." So I believe that as we come to the Father, we recognize that he is our Father. The next thing we have to recognize is that his name is hallowed. It is his name that is above every name. There is no other name like the name of Yahweh, God Almighty. There is no other name. Hallowed be your name. It's your name that is above every other name. So when we come to him, we say, "Father, hallowed be your name." So when we start out in prayer, we pray knowing that we're praying to the Father, recognizing that he is above everything and that his name is to be exalted. That's why you and I are here. That's what our purpose is, to exalt the Father, to lift up his name, to hallow his name. And so today I call you to hallowing his name. And it goes on and says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today I believe again that as we enter into prayer, so many times we come into prayer kind of wanting God to enter into our kingdom and be part of our kingdom. But the Bible says that we should pray, Lord, that your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, my mind goes back to my father, who not very often that I remember getting a spanking. I was a good boy. Well, for the most part. And anyway, my father occasionally would use a tobacco lath as a rod of correction. Now, for those of you that don't know what a tobacco lath is, it's just a yardstick on steroids is what it is. It's pretty aggressive and gets the point across. But I remember when we were supposed to get the silage down out of the silo, and the barn had steers in it, and then we had another barn that had steers in it as well. And so we had to bag the silage, load it on a tractor, and take it over to the other barn to feed the steers over there. So when we got home from school, it was our job to fill the bags with silage and get them over to the other barn so that it was there ready for Dad to feed when he got home from work. Well, I remember sometimes that didn't happen. You know, it was the will of my father that silage be over in the barn when he was ready to feed. And when he would come walking with that tobacco lath, I knew very well that his will was going to be done. And that, amazing. You could jump, squirm, or whatever, and he always connects somewhere or another. You know, that's our Heavenly Father, though. He's saying, my will, my will, my will be done. Not yours, not yours. My will be done, and it will be done. Whether you agree or don't agree. So when we come to prayer, praying to our Father, recognizing his name is hallowed, and recognizing that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray to that extent, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it goes on and says, give us this day our daily bread. And we tend to think, we have all these things that we come to the Father, and we start out in prayer, Lord, today I need this, or I need that, or I want this, or I want that. And I believe this morning what God is calling us to when we enter into prayer, that we come to him and we recognize him as our Father. He is hallowed. His will is going to be done. And that's shifting to us, asking for our needs. And I believe that it's important that you and I understand today that it's important that we pray, understanding that God is the one that supplies our needs. You see, I believe we can fall into this trap where we begin to supply our own needs. We can take care of our own physical needs. We can take care of our own bread. It's just that we call God in when things are big, when we have a relationship we can't handle, or we have someone who we needs to be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we call on the Father. Then we call him to come in. But we don't think about the fact that every piece of bread, every donut, every hot dog or whatever it is that you eat comes by the Father. That he provides for us. And so we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And he says it, our daily bread. Not that we're stocking up for years to come and the future to come, but give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need to survive. The Bible says that if you have food and raiment, therewith to be content. Are we content? And I believe that if we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, recognizing that it comes from the Father, it will put us in a place where we are more willing to understand and recognize that everything that we have comes from the Father. Not our daily wants, but our daily bread, our daily needs. Going on. He says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, and here's another way the King NIV puts it. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I believe it is important this morning that we understand that in this prayer, again, knowing that he is the Father, that his name is hallowed, and that his kingdom will come, and that he supplies our daily bread, that we also need to recognize that we are so in need of being forgiven. We are so in need of God's forgiveness. And when we recognize that need, with the need of God's forgiveness to us, we will be more willing. We will be more willing to extend forgiveness to others as well. So give us this bread, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I don't need to explain that to you. I know that you know exactly what it means to forgive, to ask God to forgive you as you forgive others. Because it's the verses at the end, which I'll look at in verse 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And he goes on. It says in verse 13, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Again, I believe that should be our prayer. That as we talk to the Father, "Lord, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Because we cannot face the evil one without the power of God in our lives. So deliver us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is what his cry is. What are the things that hinder our prayer? And I apologize, I have more things than I would have time to share here. What are the things that hinder our prayers? Think about it. Here's some scripture that speak to the hindrances of prayer. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If it is that we have sin hidden in our hearts that we refuse to deal with, then I tell you this morning, you can shout, you can jump up and down, you can fall on your knees, you can throw up your hands or whatever it is. But the Bible says that if you disregard sin or regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. So I believe it's important that when we think about prayer and we think about entering in and sharing with the Father, that we come before him with a heart that's pure, that there is no sin that is there. Another one. And this is for you guys that are married. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Guys, if you're here today and you're calling out to God and you're seeking direction and you're looking for direction from the Father, but things are not right between you and your wife, and you have the ability to change that as the leader of your home, don't expect God to hear your prayer. Or if he does, it will be hindered. That's Bible. That's not me. So I encourage you guys, if there's things between you and your wife, get it right. Make it right, and make it right now. Make it right today. Because you can't come and stand before the Father and ask for direction and guidance when things aren't right between you and your wife. It's a hindrance to prayer. Unreconciled wrongs. Therefore, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave the gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to the brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Matthew 5, 23 and 24. An unforgiving spirit is another thing that's a hindrance. "Then came Peter and said to the Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto you, until 70 times seven, and you shall be kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you." The sin of covetousness is another one. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." So we have the sin of covetousness, looking and asking God for things that we want to consume upon our own lust, the reasons that we come and ask him. Prayerlessness itself is a hindrance. "Moreover, as for me," it says in Samuel, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Get that? God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Have you recognized prayerlessness as a sin? Has it ever occurred that prayerlessness is sin? Because it is a direct command that God has given us with no exceptions. Prayerlessness is sin. And if you find yourself there this morning, go to the Father and say, tell him how difficult it is. Tell him how you struggle. Because he understands and he knows and he can answer that for you. There's an unknown author that put together a summary of the disciples' prayer, and I'm going to share it with you this morning in closing. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. As the prayer starts, our Father who's in heaven. Not me, not I, but our Father who's in heaven. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor to each day to act like his child. I cannot say hallowed be your name if I am playing around with sin. I cannot say your kingdom come if I am not allowing God to reign in my life. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread if I am trusting in myself instead of God's provision. I cannot say, forgive us our sins if I am nursing a grudge or withholding forgiveness from someone else. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in its path. And that I leave to you this morning as a challenge. That as you look at this prayer, it says at the end of the prayer, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. Amen. Because his is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. And that's where we get our strength. That's where we find hope. And that's where we find courage to carry on. Father, I thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word and to be challenged by it. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts and that you would help us to understand and to walk faithful and true to the scripture that you have laid out for us. Lord, and like the disciples, we do come to you and say, teach us how to pray. Father, we do need you. We need your spirit to guide and lead and direct us. Father, I thank you today that we have opportunity to come into the throne room of grace, to come into the Holy of Holies and know that you are there and know that we can come to you as a Father and know that you will accomplish your will in our lives. So, Father, today we want you to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the Lord over this church and this community. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the choir to come and lead us in the closing song.